This is Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
This is Vectis Radio. It's 21 minutes after 12. I've just bumped into someone that was in reception. I've not seen him for a long time. He hasn't changed a bit. In actual fact, he gets more film-style looks as the years goes on, I'm sure. So, look, we've got to say big welcome to Colin MacArthur. Is it Sir yet?
Not yet.
Not yet. Should be, shouldn't it?
Well, thank you. I haven't got any money, but...
How are you, Colin? You
I'm
okay?
Brilliant. Thank you.
I was just trying to think the last time you came in. Long time ago, wasn't it?
To see you was the 40th anniversary of our charity, and we was plugging an event we were doing then. So it's now coming up to the 50th, from next month, the 50th anniversary of our charity.
Wow.
And we're hoping to close the charity with us all being out to sea again.
Look, tell us about the charity.
It was set up in 75, obviously.
And it's called?
It's called Retina UK. It was called the BRPS, British Retinitis Pigmentosa Society, set up by Linda Cantor. It's been run by volunteers up until 2008, and we were one of those instrumental in getting the charity to change to professional fundraisers and CEO and that sort of thing, but it's grown and grown over the years. It's funded medical research to the fact that we've gone from not knowing what causes sight loss in inherited progressive blindness. We thought at first it was one particular gene, but over the years it became more and more, and in recently we've now funded centres around the country to actually work out how quickly a quicker method of diagnosing which RP you have or inherited sight loss, and we've now come up with 300 different defective genes that cause different types of inherited sight loss, from Usher syndrome, which causes deaf and blindness, through to all sorts of different syndromes. Usher's, you've got Refsums, and other scientific names that don't really mean anything to the public. But if you've got it, you've got to lose some part of your retina because your defective genes are switching off one particular type or all particular types of your photoreceptor cells on the retina.
So your charity is helping fund things. It's also raising awareness,
yes,
as well. And I would imagine there's a lot of people, like, until you got in touch with me, like, loads of years ago, I didn't know anything about it. Obviously, I heard of blindness and so on, but you know, there was loads of other things that you've mentioned there that I didn't know anything about. So, you know, the awareness thing is a really good thing. Since the last time we spoke, my mum is 91 and she's now more or less blind.
Right.
And so, you know, I sort of, you have a bit more of an understanding of kind of what it's like, because she will tell you.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes we should, like, change places and just shut our eyes for an hour, just to sort of see what it's like, just to sort of, you know what people are actually going through. But you are, I mean, you're an incredible chap, because you've been doing this for raising funds for how many years?
45 years.
45 years?
With Linda and the family, and then...
You don't look groups. Old enough.
I've always been working with teams and other people. It's not a individual effort, it's obviously it's always teams, but we've raised quite a bit of money and pushed the awareness, and also we've helped people along the way with our various branches or groups we've been involved with. We was on the mainland up until 2004, and people get involved and they get there's a helpline with a charity, so if anybody's recently diagnosed or they're having sight problems, they need to find out if there's a problem, go to your optician first of all, then they'll pass you to your consultant, and then if you need assistance, the charity's there. and we'll help you through, because there's a well-being side of the charity, and information and support charity is it's manned by people who've got the eye conditions, and they know all about it, and they're specially trained to help.
It's nice to know.
Overcome obstacles and the sort of anxieties and depression that you go through various stages of sight loss.
It's nice to know that there is help out there, because I would imagine that's one of the scariest things ever. I mean, you were kind of lucky. You had a lovely family around you, very supportive. But just imagine if you haven't got that mechanism, you haven't got that unit around you.
That's right.
You're going to be very isolated, and as you say, depression will kick in very quickly. I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
So it's wonderful what you're doing. It really is. It's lovely to see you as well, because it's been too long.
Yeah.
I want to just talk about you. When did you first discover that, you know, eyesight was disappearing?
I took it when I was growing up as a young child. I just assumed everybody saw the same as I did, and all my parents have told me, but I used to draw pictures at nursery with just windows and doors, because at that time I didn't realise, but I just had tunnel vision. Because, as I was saying before, the defective genes switch off the rods, which pick up your peripheral vision and your night, and support your night vision. So once that goes, you can't see in the dark, and you only have tunnel vision. Mm. In my case, particular case, but and I went through school. I couldn't see the blackboard very well, so I had to sit at the front, and then I got glasses, helped a bit. And it wasn't until I was 14, 15, I was in the playground. Used to play football, but used to sometimes lose the ball because I was following it and somebody had hit it. And, of course, my peripheral vision wasn't working, so I'd lose it. But they changed it to a tennis ball. We only allowed to have a tennis ball. So I went to the optician because I thought I needed stronger glasses. I couldn't follow this tennis ball. And I was preferred to Moorfields, and then we went from there.
Wow. I mean, I didn't realise it went as far back as that.
Yeah, but I still went through school and went through state school and went through... held down a job for over 20 years and with tunnel vision, and then that decreased. And then went... And so I was lucky enough that I was working for a big firm, British Gas, as was called that then, and I didn't realise that I qualified for ill health pension. So I'd been in Moorfields for a couple of operations, but there was nothing that they could do because it's the RP that switched off all the genes, all the photoreceptor cells, and I was just struggling what to do, and I suddenly thought, there's a charity out there. I could spend my time working for them, and that's how it started. We just started slow with a couple of fundraising. Linda used to help me with tombolas and things like that, and then we progressed because I still had a bit of tunnel vision. I could still see down the pool cue, so we used to have...
Still playing pool at this point
with the bright lights over the top.
Wow.
I can still manage, not very well. I used to get beaten by everybody, but still had these 24-hour pool mountains, and we even got the pool champion who used to be on Sky. I just phoned up and asked the pool association if they got a professional player who come down and show tricks, and they gave me Steve Sanders and gave me his phone number, and he came down with his lovely wife, and they spent about half an hour having these trick shots, and then we played pool for 24 hours and raised loads of money. Yeah,
good for you. I mean, there's a lot of people that would go through what you've gone through and just privately get on with life. And you've done that, but as well as that, as raising funds, raising awareness, and so on. So that's inspirational. That is. That really is.
Well, not really. It's just I got the.
You're playing it down now, are you?
Yeah. I come under the view. Well, nobody else is doing anything. The government won't give any money for the research. So, I've got to get off my backside and do something about it.
Well, that's brilliant. And you've been doing it now for 45 years. Yeah, so yeah. Let's talk about the event then. So it's if my memory serves me right, it's June the 8th.
Yeah.
And describe the event for us.
We've been running, because we're retired now, so we've got a bit more low-key, but we came up with a Hope to See View a few years ago. And we've run that for about 5 years. COVID interrupted, and that's raised over 40,000 over that time.
Wow.
And then we thought it needed a bit of refreshing, new ideas. So the group that we run, which meets up in the Alamo, our son's restaurant, every first Tuesday of the month, a couple of the people were saying perhaps we come up with an idea of all carry a rope, so we all stuck together, and we're better off when we're all together, and becomes a bit of a sight. And then, no pun intended, but then somebody came up with the idea of having a white cane, a long white cane, obviously a pipe or some sort. So that's what we've done now, and we've got it all ready, but we just need people to register. We've got a website. It's been the County Press have kindly put an article online for us, which covers all the links and things that we need for, if you go on that, the registration will be there to register, and you just pay £10 and you'll get a Retina UK cap, which is very good. And they'll give you advice about setting up a Just Giving page, and go from there. And then soon, the more people we get, the longer we have to make this white cane. So it could go up to 160 feet if we're lucky enough to get
a lot of people. Man, that's a big cane, isn't it?
Yeah, but we're just going along Ride Seafront from opposite the Alamo, where my son, where we start from, and then we go meet up on the green opposite, go along the seafront, up as far as the boathouse, come back, and then reverse, then back, and then in the evening we'll have, my wife Linda's got a fun quiz going on, and we've got a meal and a raffle. Our son's kindly laying on the meal that you pay for, and every meal that's paid for, you donate £5 to the charity, and then we'll have the raffle and a music in the evening, a disco and things.
So that's June the 8th.
June the 8th, and Sunday, 3 p.m.
How do people get involved? Is there a website that we can go and have a look at?
Yeah, there's www.retinauk.org.uk.
I'll just do that again, because I can just see people at home now trying. Hang on, I ain't got a pen. Say that again, Colin.
retinauk.org.uk.
Brilliant. Okay. And I was just thinking, this week, and this is a true story, this week we've got a lady that is totally blind. I think she says she's been blind since birth. She's been doing a show for us now for, oh, it must be 2 years at least.
Right.
And sometimes she'll sit here and do it, you know, in the main chair.
Yeah.
And other times she'll sit where you are.
Right.
And this week, Kelvin Curry brought in some technology. There was a little machine that he showed me, and I thought it looked like something that, you know, when you put something on a tape and it's got a name and you can spell out all the stuff and then print it off and then stick it on and so on. He had one of those, and I didn't realise that it wasn't quite the same. It's printed off Braille.
Oh, brilliant.
And it's all, and we've got it this side for the first time this week. And while you were talking then, and I was just imagining what it was like for you not being able to see anything, I'm just running my fingers over this Braille thing, and I'm thinking, how the hell do you work that out, what that is? All that is a load. So do you use Braille at all?
I must confess I don't. I tried, like you.
I was going to get you to come round and have a read and see what this says.
No, I've always promised myself I've got to get my eyesight back. So I never went down that route, so no. I'm sorry.
honestly, I know a few people that walk around this particular area with sticks, and you never, when I was a kid, you used to think differently, but now you realise, how brave are you to be out there by yourself with a stick? You've got no idea who's around you until they get close, and you might be able to sort of hear their voices and so on.
Yeah.
And you think, that's a really brave thing to do. What goes through your mind when you're there with a that situation? Yeah, you got your stick.
Just get you're concentrating, and people say that you once one of your sight goes, plus one of your senses, you pick your other senses get
right.
You use your other senses more, but I think you just concentrate more, and you find ways. Sometimes you can hear where obstacles are by the because of the traffic noise. Mm. Makes a different sound, and as you say, people walking past. But I think it's something that you just have to get used to.
But every now and then, I think those people that can see, just what it's like. Cover your eyes for a minute.
Yeah.
You walk around your house. Don't do anything silly like trying to cross the road or anything like that. We'll leave that to you to do that. But I mean, it makes you realise. And the reason why I say that is because when my mum suddenly said what she can see, and you think, oh, crikey, yeah, but you've had your sight all your life. You don't even think about it. But then when you shut your eyes and start moving around and start...
Yeah.
I mean, some of the things that she can do is incredible.
Yeah.
She cooks amazingly.
Yeah.
I mean, she puts these... there's like a button. It don't matter what colour it is, she can't see it, but there's a button so she can find out what heat the switch is on and so on. And I went in about 6 weeks ago and she was cooking a curry. And she was doing it in the oven, and I did think to myself, cooking in a curry in the oven. See, even Linda's now looking at me frowning and thinking, really? But she did, and she brought out this this curry out of the oven, and she took the baker foil off the top of it, and it smelled and tasted delicious. It really did. And I think, crikey, the amazing things that you can do. And yeah, okay, she's got a network of people as well, but she's doing this really mostly by herself. But it just inspires you to realise that, okay, if things like that do happen, there is help out there. And that help is down to people like you getting involved with organisations to raise awareness and funds so that there is that help there for these people that eventually, if something like that happens, which it's going to happen a lot more on the island because of the age and so on. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you.
I think it's brilliant what you do, and that's why I say, when I say it should be Sir Colin, I think it should be. I think it's brilliant what you do. I really do.
No, it's just not my... like I said, I've just promised myself I'm going to get my eyesight back, and the only way I can see of doing that is to get off the backside and raise funds and awareness.
And you've done that.
I'll keep on doing it.
You keep on doing it. So let's just recap. Reason why you're here, we're promoting the event. It's June the 8th. You can get involved by, we're wanting to make this stick 160 feet long. So just once again, just tell us, how do we make that stick 160 feet long? I'm guessing we raise more money, raise more awareness.
So there's lots of things on the social media we've put out. If you want to go to the Alamo Facebook site, there's the posters on there, the posters on outside the Alamo and various places along the route that we're going to cover. The link is too long to try and say over the air, but if you find one of these posters or go to the County Press online. Hopefully the County Press will have that printed this week, in the paper when it comes out on Friday, but it's online there, and there's plenty of community pages as well that we've got the poster on, where you can get the link and the Just Giving page.
We're going to beat the County Press to it, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to podcast this interview, whack it on our website, and I'll put the link in there today, not tomorrow. Today,
brilliant. Thank
that's what we're going to do. Hey, look, it's brilliant to see you. It really is.
Good
and
to see you.
Thanks
for
coming in.
Thanks very much, Ian.
And where's your son's? It's the Alamo, but whereabouts in Ryde is that?
It's opposite the pier, Ryde Pier.
Right. Okay.
And he's been working hard and building that up, and it's really nice, lovely bar and grill, lovely food.
How long has he had that one then for?
He started off around the corner.
Right.
A small one, about 2014, so it's been over 10 years now.
Fantastic, because I did get... It's near the King Lud, then, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got kicked out of there back in 1990.
Did you?
Yeah, I was banned for life by all accounts. Oh, I've never been back since. I don't know how strong they're going to, you know, stick to the ban. Yeah, I mean, it's not hard to get banned from there, though. Hey, look, Colin, it's great to see you. It really is. And I hope the event goes brilliantly well. Thank you for coming in. Good luck with it. And let's hope this... You're hoping for 160 feet...
Yeah, long white cane.
That's going to be something to look at, isn't it?
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
That is the idea.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you.
And we can collect along the way as well, so if anybody's got some loose change, we want to donate in our buckets.
You'll be shaking the bucket as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Linda. I know you don't say much. Does that happen often?
No. I couldn't do anything without Linda's.
No.
Assistance is my PA.
Well, behind every successful man is a wonderful woman.
Definitely.
Yeah, you'll agree with that, because you've got to.
I've got to.
Otherwise, you're stuck here.